There is a word from the Lord on today, and it shall come forth from the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. Genesis, the 14th chapter, and we will share with you beginning at verse 8 through 20 in our reading. For time's sake, we will also come from chapter 12, but I will not read chapter 12, although the first part of the first four verses of that, matter of fact, that entire chapter, we will use as a brief reference as well. But for our scripture reading, once again, it's Genesis, the 14th chapter, and I will read verses 8 through 20, and as always, we're reading according to the New American Standard Version, and it reads as follows. And the king of Sodom, and the king of Gomorrah, and the king of Admah, and the king of Zeboim, and the king of Bela, that is Zoar, came out, and they arrayed for battle against them in the valley of Siddim, against Chedorlaomer, king of Elam, and Tidal, king of Goam, and Amraphel, king of Shinar, and Arioch, king of Elasar, four kings against five. Now the valley of Siddim was full of tar pits, and the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah fled, and they fell into them. But those who survived fled to the hill country. Then they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed. And they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions, and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Now he was living by the oaks of Mamre the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were allies with Abram. And when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. And he divided his forces against them by night, he and his servants, and defeated them and pursued them as far as Hobah, which is north of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions, and also the women and the people. We're going to skip to verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And we're going to pause right there. From that verse, verse 20, is where we derive our theme and thesis, and that is, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. If it be the Lord's will, we're going to continue our theme and thesis. We did part 1A on last week. This week we will focus in on part 1B, and that is entitled, When God is in the Fight. All right, now. When God is in the fight. We said on last week that what a blessing it is knowing that you're not by yourself. I don't care what a person has to face or what they endure or what obstacles or challenges may come forth in their life. It is a blessing to know that when a person is facing difficulty, when they're facing challenges, when obstacles are before them, it is a blessing to know that God is in the fight with them. And so we looked at and we examined on last week, chapter 12, as to how to get God in the fight. See, because a lot of folks say, well, when God is in the fight, oh, wonderful. I didn't know. Somebody may not know that God was in the fight with them or did not know how to get God in the fight with them. Well, let me just make it real simple. You get God in the fight with you when you accept him as your Lord and Savior. Amen, somebody. When you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, you become a part of the family of God because you become a child of God and you make him Lord and Savior and Master of your life. And those who belong to God, that which belongs to God, God himself will fight. And I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. Because truth be told, the greatest and the most fierce war that we face is not things that we can see with our naked eye.
Come on.
Or things that we can hear with our ear. Or things that we can touch with our hand. Things in the natural realm. But the true warring is in the spiritual realm. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the word of God says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but spiritual wickedness in high places. Because Satan and his armies are always seeking to steal, kill, and destroy in the lives of God's people, that which he has created. And so, truth be told, we can't win apart from God. And with God, we can't lose. I think I might say that again.
Amen.
I said, with God, we cannot lose.
Amen.
Yeah, so when God is in the fight.
Amen.
Abraham invited God in the fight. Matter of fact, he allowed God to get in the fight when God came to him in the 12th chapter and gave him a command. God told him, he said, get out from among your kindred, from your relatives, from your country, from your people. He told him, leave them and go to a place that I'm going to show you. And he told him he was making a covenant with him and that he would show him a land and a place. And that anybody who blessed him, God would bless. Anybody who cursed him, God would curse. That's what God told him. And then in the 4th verse of that 12th chapter, the scripture says, and Abraham did what God told him to do. So see, what makes a covenant is that God will speak to us and give us a word, i.e. the Bible, amen, i.e. the gospel, i.e. his word in its entirety. God will give us his word. He will give us a command. He'll give us his statutes, his judgments, his precepts. God will give us his word, and our response to God's word will dictate or determine whether we've established a covenant with God. In John 3:16, the scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So we have the opportunity to respond to God's word.
Amen.
And when a person responds to God's word, then they have the opportunity then, and when they do that in the affirmative, to then enter into a covenant with God. To become one with God. And that's how Abraham got God in the fight. And that's how we get God in the fight. Through a covenant relationship to honor God as God. And to allow him to be Lord and Master of our lives. Now let me put a pin where going because somebody needs to be blessed. In Romans the 6th chapter along about the 16th verse, God reveals this. He says that it's easy for a person to determine who they've made Lord of their lives.
Right.
See, because just saying something with one's mouth is not enough. See, Romans 10:9-10 says it this way, or 10 and 9. It says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord, and we believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved.
Amen.
So see, it's a confession with the mouth, and there's a belief with the heart. See, it can't just be lip service. It's got to be heart living.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
And so in the 16th verse of that 6th chapter, God says that the one who we obey reveals who is Lord of our lives.
Amen.
So a person can say, oh, yeah, I made Jesus Lord of my life. You know, yeah, I said this back when I was 5 or when I was 10 or 15 or when I was 50. It doesn't matter what the age was. Person can say, oh, I accepted Jesus Christ. I said these words. Yeah, but did you make a commitment? Think about it like this. Somebody gonna make me pray in here. I'm gonna make this real simple. Think about it like this. Can you imagine a husband, a man and a woman coming up to the altar to get married, okay, as husband and wife? They get there, they before the preacher, and they and before the witnesses that are there at, in attendance at a ceremony. And the man gets up after having heard that the words, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold, to love, to cherish, and until death do you part? And he gets up and say, I do. And he asks the woman the same thing and honor the man and all of these. And she says, I do. With their mouth, they say that. Now, can you imagine that the man, right after the ceremony, instead of going off on honeymoon with his wife, he said, okay, look here, I'll be back. I got some sisters I need to attend to. Dude, look here. You done messed up. If either you just made a commitment, a covenant relationship with God and this woman of God, who you said you were taking as your wife, well, what are you doing out there, going out there running after other women if you just made a commitment? See, lip service and heart service got to be one. Just saying something with the mouth, saying, oh, yeah, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Lord. Folks have said that a million times. They can say it 10 trillion times. But if they've not believed it in their heart and thus lived it out and walked it out in their life, then Jesus will never be Lord. It's based on our commitment and our conviction. Okay? Amen. Now, so the Bible says, with that analogy on before us, the Bible says that the one who is Lord is the one who we obey. In other words, this is the acid test. So when Jesus is Lord, a person to whom Jesus is Lord, then they practice obeying the word of God. Doesn't mean that they do not sin or come short, okay? Doesn't mean that they don't mess up or blow it. All have sinned and fallen short of God's standard of righteousness, and there are none righteous, no, not one. If we could get ourselves into heaven on our own deeds, then there'd have been no need for Jesus Christ to die on Calvary's cross. Okay? But because he died on Calvary's cross, we make him Lord and Savior of our lives, seeing that we've been redeemed by his blood and that he got up on the third day morning and is seated at the right hand of power. We honor him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And as a result of honoring him as Lord and Savior, we live for him now. Because he died for us. Let me say that again. We live for him because he what? Died for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
But see, the person who says, oh, okay, well, you know, yeah, I know Christ died for me. I know he rose on the third day morning. But I want to live my own life.
My.
I don't want nobody telling me what to do. I ought to be able to do what I want to do with my own life, with my own body, with my own. But see, the Bible says that we've been bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and that we're not our own.
Amen.
The Bible says that we are the temple of God in which the Holy Spirit dwells.
Amen.
And that we belong to God.
Amen.
God owns us. We don't own ourselves.
Amen.
We are but stewards. Huh? Managers of our life, of our body, of our being, but God is the owner.
Amen.
The person who takes ownership instead of stewardship does not honor Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if we want God in the fight with whatever we may face in life, whatever challenges may come in life, whatever we may have to endure in life, whatever salvation we may need, whatever deliverance we may seek, whatever victories we may want to lay hold of, we want to make sure that God is in the fight. In order for God to be in the fight, Jesus has to be Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And not in word only, but in deed. Meaning that the lives that we live as Christians look like his. Not that folk are perfect. Peter wasn't perfect. He denied the Lord 3 times. But the life that he lived, in the book of Acts, it testified that the people said that they called him Christians because they were walking like Christ, talking like Christ, living like Christ. And so they called them Christians. We use the word Christians. Yeah. But that's what a Christian is. Christian, Christian, same word, pronounced differently. But it means those who are followers of Christ. Okay? That's how we get God in the fight. That's how we keep God in the fight. By honoring his lordship, honoring him as our maker and our creator, our sustainer. Amen. Praises be to God. Let's take this pen out now. Chapter 14 of the book of Genesis. We see that Abraham was in a battle, not just for his life, but for the life of his nephew.
Yeah.
Okay. The scripture says that there were five kings who warred against four kings. The four kings defeated the five kings. These kings had armies, plenty of manpower, weapons, and all of those things. But they made one mistake. They took something that was connected to somebody who belonged to God. Oh, y'all gonna make me say something in here. They didn't take the one himself directly who was connected to God. They took somebody and some things that was connected to somebody who was in covenant relationship with God. Oh, I don't think I'm gonna get through here today. I think we might have a part 1C, but I'm trying to get through 1B. See, I don't know about you today, but I not only want God's protection for my life, but I want God's protection for the life of my loved ones, people who matter to me. I want God's protection for my wife. If he don't take care of nobody else, I want Pastor Sheila Giles covered. I want God's protection for my children. I want him for my nieces and nephews and, oh, good God Almighty. Folk want him for mama, for daddy, for brother, sister. You want God's protection. You want God's protection not only for the souls, praise God, that are tied to you, connected to you, but you want God to protect your stuff. Good God, amen. In other words, people and property. Amen. Because once again, Satan's whole agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to take people, places, and things from folk. If they're not careful, he'll take their peace, their prosperity, their blessings by getting them to live and to act in disobedience to God and his word. Yeah. But in this 12th verse of this 14th chapter, the scripture says, and they also took Lot, Abram's nephew. Oh, well, there it was. So you got to understand, this man is in covenant relationship with God. And him being in covenant, see, Lot didn't make the covenant with God. The stuff that Lot has did not make the covenant with God. The people who are connected with Lot, who also got taken, were not in covenant with God. But Abraham was. Once again, as Christians, we enter covenant with God when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And make a commitment and a resolve to live for him as Lord and Master of our lives. See, some folk think they're getting away with stuff. Oh, Lord, I'm trying to preach, but I just can't help but pray, Pastor Giles. See, some folk think they're getting away with something. They want to be Christians on Sunday and go do something else Sunday afternoon. They can't even wait till Monday. See, and they think they're getting away with something, and the truth of it is they're not getting away with anything. Satan's getting away with everything. Yeah. See, because as long as a person is in covenant with God, amen, Satan can't steal anything from him. He can't kill him. And nor can he destroy the blessings of God in their lives, whether it be people, places, or things. Oh, but when folk break covenant with God. See, that's another reason for a repentance. See, all have sinned and come short once again. But I don't know about you, but whenever in the past where I've sinned and come short, I hurry up. I mean running. Lord, forgive me. I messed up. I blew it. I'm going to work to get it right. I'm going to keep on seeking you. I'm going to keep on serving you. I'm going to keep on practicing your word and your righteousness in my life. And I'm going to keep on going after you. I'm going to keep on being a God chaser. And a God pursuer.
Amen.
Yeah. To get it right.
Amen.
But because they took his nephew. But see, you got to understand, this is not just any nephew. See, the word nephew out of the Hebrew is the word spelled B-E-N. It's got an accent over it in the Hebrew, so the E sounds like a and it's pronounced bane instead of ben. And that word bane out of the Hebrew literally translates son. Somebody gonna pray with me in here. And because this was a son of Abram's brother, when his brother went on to be with the Lord, when his brother left this world, when his brother had entered a deceased state, Abraham took responsibility for his welfare. And because he's a son, even though his father is gone, Abraham stood in the gap. Good God Almighty. So in effect, this was not just any nephew. It was a nephew who had become a son because Abraham was standing in his father's stead. Good God Almighty. Was standing in his father's stead. That's why Abraham, the minute he got word, rallied his troops, rallied his resources, everything that he had to go get a nephew who had become a son because his father was no longer there. Good God Almighty. Yeah. So it says that they took Abraham's nephew and his possessions and departed. They not only took a soul, but they took some stuff that belonged to that soul. And they left with it. If they had defeated those five kings and took everybody but Lot and his stuff, if they had just left Lot alone, they'd have won the war. They'd have won the war. But they messed up when they started messing with somebody who was connected to someone who was in a covenant relationship with God. Good God Almighty. Yeah, they messed up. Yeah, they took all his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Verse 13 says, then a fugitive came and told Abram the Hebrew. Good God Almighty. The man got word that his nephew, his bane, good God Almighty, had been taken with all his stuff because a fugitive. That word fugitive literally means somebody who's escaped. And what I really like about that, I just got to have a little fun with it for a minute. See, every time somebody accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and is forgiven for their sins, see, generational curses have been broken in their life. See, there's some symbolism here. Somebody going to walk with me. See, generational curses have been broken in their lives, and the Spirit of God destroys every yoke and every stronghold that's upon their lives. So see, when Christians accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and they're baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, good God Almighty, they become a fugitive. Good God Almighty. They become an escape one. That's somebody who got away from Satan's grasp. I just thought I'd throw that in for free. Somebody who escaped. Came and told somebody. See, that's why as Christians, we got to have a witness, y'all. The scripture says that Jesus Christ was the testimony born at the proper time. See, we've got to follow in who he is, in his footsteps. Amen. That means we got to have a testimony. Amen. See, when God saved me on June 23rd, 1985, from the time that I was on PV's campus, and I did not know him in his sin, but God met me there and spoke with me there, saved me there, delivered me there. Amen. Good God Almighty, don't make me pray here. I had a new walk and a new talk. I had a new word. I started testifying, good God Almighty, on that same campus for God's glory and for his grace. Because I had escaped. And it caused other folk to escape. Not only because they were looking at what I had to say, but because they were looking at what I was doing, looking at my living, looking at my walk. And all the others who were living for God. See, because we've escaped, we get to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We get to be the Jesus, good God Almighty, before folk know about this Bible. So they can get to see him in and through our lives. Yeah, I said a fugitive came and told Abram that his nephew had been made captive. Good God Almighty. Abram, being in covenant relationship with God. The scripture said, now he was living, here in this 13th verse, by the oaks of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Anah, and these were allies with Abram. Good. They were allies with him. Good. See, this is the thing here. See, a lot of folk, I've seen this not just with young people, but I've seen this with some older folk. One of the things that my parents taught me, somebody's going to be blessed today. Amen. They taught us to be eagles and not chickens. Amen. Oh, somebody going to get it. I ain't going to let you have to go home to get it either. Amen. They taught us to be eagles and not chickens. See, eagles soar alone. Chickens cluster. And peck the ground in barnyards. But eagles soar and they get to see the landscape of life. They're individuals. They're not just clusters. Okay. They taught us to be individuals. Not to have to, if you will, live in such a way that we got to have somebody else or other folk in order to derive our identity. Amen, amen somebody. Amen. I remember some guys in particular when I was doing my undergraduate studies at Prairie View A&M University and they would join the fraternities. Normally it was guys who couldn't get girls on their own. Oh, wow. They was afraid of girls. They didn't even know how to go about talking to a young lady, introducing themselves or whatever else. And so they like, oh, I'm going to join this frat and I'm going to have all kind of women. Well, first of all, that shouldn't be the goal of life. That's the goal of whoredom, not holiness. Amen, somebody. Okay, that's first problem with it. The second problem is that they didn't have an identity unto themselves. They were either wanting to get in part of fraternity so that other people could like them and they could be associated with some so they could attract somebody to them, or either they were in the group for the purpose of protection. Oh, ain't nobody going to jump on me. I'll call my frat. Right. Listen. We came here by ourselves and we're going to leave here by ourselves. Amen, somebody. Amen. Huh? And until a person learns to be an individual, it's absolutely impossible for them to effectively be a part of any group. Because, see, every effective group or every powerful group is made up of individuals. Yeah. Not just a cluster of folk who have no identity unto themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. So our parents taught us to be eagles and not chickens.
Amen.
To have an identity, to be able to make decisions on our own, and to not have to worry about what other people think and what other people say.
Amen.
That's what kept me off of drugs. Amen, somebody.
Right.
When I was approached, my parents never even talked to me about drugs. But when I was approached by some folk that were supposed to be classmates or associates or whatever, all those kind of things. Some people use the word friend. But folk I was on the basketball team with, and football team, all that stuff with, when they got together and they started passing the dope around, and I'm like, well, what is this? I ain't never saw this before. What's going on here? When they started passing the dope around, and I told them, I don't want none of that stinky stuff. Yeah, y'all can go on about that with yourself. And when somebody said something in a derogative nature to me, I said, whoa, up, Doc. Did I call you names for you doing what you doing? Then don't call me any name for me not doing what you doing. If you want to do it, then you do it, but let me be me and you be you.
Amen.
That was a seventh grader speaking, because that was the first time that drugs was presented to me. But because I had been taught to have an ego mentality, I was able to make a decision based on who I was and not who the group was. Somebody better say amen. Yeah, somebody better say amen. Because, see, truth be told, that's what's wrong with society. There's this herd mentality. See, when I was coming up, if you had holes in your clothes, oh, somebody gonna hear me now, that meant you were poor. I didn't say poor, I said poor. Amen, somebody. That meant you were poor. But then now I look around here and folk going around here putting holes in their clothes on purpose and buying holes in their clothes. Because, and I mean paying a pretty penny for it. Because why? Everybody else is doing it. We got to learn to be individuals. We got to learn to function with an ego mentality. Because when it comes to Jesus Christ, we're in this world, but we're not of it. And so the person who is a Christian, a Christian, good God Almighty, need to be comfortable in their own skin, comfortable in their own commitment, comfortable in their own resolve, comfortable in their own identity, comfortable in their own choices, comfortable in their own decisions. Because just as sure as we're here today, temptation gonna come. The crowd gonna come. The world is gonna come, and they're gonna seek to sway folk to be like them. And if they're not like them, they're gonna seek to ostracize them. And you want me to break it down? Ostracization is simply to isolate people to themselves. And if folk are an individual, isolate all you want, baby. Isolate all you want. Matter of fact, the Bible has already told me that light and darkness has no fellowship.
Amen.
Huh? To not be, it tells me not to be equally, to unequally yoked with unbelievers. I'm already separated.
Amen.
Matter of fact, the word sanctified itself, to be sanctified to the Lord Jesus Christ, the word sanctification itself means to be separated. We got to learn to be individuals.
Amen.
We got to learn to be comfortable being who we are and knowing our identity in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Knowing the gifting, knowing the anointing, knowing the person of Christ being lived out through our lives.
Amen.
Yeah. Praises be to God. I thought I'd throw that in for free.
Amen.
Yeah, back to verse 13. It said a fugitive came and told Abram, the Hebrew. Now he was living there and he had him some allies with him.
Yeah.
Praise God. Listen here. Nothing wrong with having some allies. Everything right about it. But once again, Abram was an individual and so was his allies. They were individuals, but they came together born out of the covenant relationship that Abraham had with God. See, if folk want to come together with you, let them come together with you in Christ,
Amen.
Not in the club.
Amen.
Let them come together with you in righteousness,
Amen.
Not in Rome.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God.
These were allies. And these allies, praise God, as a matter of fact, the word ally itself literally translates citizens and inhabitants. They were fellow citizens, fellow inhabitants in the land with Abraham. Can I tell you that's what we are as Christians? Ephesians, the second chapter, says that God has placed us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are citizens in heaven, huh? And citizens here on earth. We have a dual citizenship.
Yeah.
But heaven, good God Almighty, dictates what goes on earth, not the other way around.
Amen.
Yeah. So these folk were allies with Abram. Verse 14 says, and when Abram heard that his relative had been taken captive, he led out his trained men, born in his house, 318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Good God Almighty. Once he heard. I got a question. Once you hear, what you gonna do? See, because God says that we're not only to be hearers of the word, but doers.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. So once you hear, what you gonna do?
Amen.
See, it's not what folk hear that matters, it's what they do with what they hear that matters.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
But if folk don't match their faith with what they hear, then ain't nothing going to happen.
Amen.
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 Yeah. So, yeah, the scripture says that they had taken captive his relative. Now, the word relative gives us some insights as well here, derived from its original Hebrew meaning. The word relative translates in this way, one who reciprocates. Oh, can I go on and bless you? See, listen to me carefully. Every relationship ought to be a two-way street. See, it ought not be, and I get sick and tired of these young women grabbing hold of these worthless dudes who just want to take from them and give nothing. I get sick and tired of that. Okay, no relationship is healthy, nor will it be wealthy if it's not a reciprocating relationship.
Amen.
Good God Almighty. To where the two are on one accord to bless God and to bless each other.
Amen.
See, that's a healthy relationship.
Amen.
Yeah, that's a healthy relationship. And God says here that word relative, even though it could mean kin, and that's one aspect, those who are in kinship, meaning blood related, but it also breaks down and boils down to the fact of a reciprocating relationship. See, somebody can be a brother to their brother, but their brother may not be a brother back. Or a sister can be a sister to her sister, but she may not be a sister back. See, what God qualifies in order for folk to be covered by the policy of the covenant relationship. See, you know, insurance policies got certain caveats to it. That there are certain things that qualify folk as to whether or not they can be covered. Oh, y'all better hear me today. It's the same thing with a covenant relationship. See, the covenant relationship we have with God, God says that the only folk he will cover, based on those who are connected to the ones who have a covenant relationship with him, even if they don't know him in the pardoning of their sins, they'll be covered by the policy. They'll be, oh, you better hear me today, covered by the relationship as long as they are in a reciprocating relationship with those who are covered, with those who are in the covenant.
Amen.
And Lot was in covenant. Oh, y'all better hear me now. He was he loved his uncle, and his uncle loved him. So he was covered by the covenant relationship that Abraham had with God. Oh, bless the Lord today. Bless the Lord today. The reason why I took the time to share that is because as Pastor Giles and I do, I mean, extensive counseling, one of the things that we delve into again and again, whether it's we're dealing with premarital counseling, marriage counseling, family counseling. Well, I don't know if it's illegal to say this over the pulpit, but I'm just going to show enough try because I want to do my best to bring it home to you. See, there's some folk that's just rotten. I've seen some of these women cling to some of these men that's just rotten. I mean, this rascal been committing adultery before they got married, once they got oh, y'all ain't hearing me today. Once they got married, and don't get me wrong, it can go in the other gender too. It can go another sex too. It can be the female. So let me not just throw it on the men. But what I'm trying to say is, these folk don't love them. They've not entered into the covenant, huh? In good faith. And therefore they've broken the covenant before the covenant could even exist as a covenant. Huh? Lord, have mercy today. And as a result of that, there's not any reciprocating aspects. If I had time to tell you, whatever you do, put God first place in your life. Don't let people, place the things, substitute for God. Because see, when that happens, that's how blindness occurs. Spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness will have a woman chasing a no good, rotten, whatever. And I've seen some of them chase them for their whole life and die chasing them. And I've seen it the other way, where men are chasing a no good woman. I'm like, Lord, could you just help these folk path the good ones with the good ones and let the bad ones have each other? Amen, somebody. Pastor John, I'll be praying for them folk. Because, see, truth be told, you know, water seeks its own level, y'all. It reminds me of the story that I once heard, and that was about this guy who was climbing the mountain, okay? And he was climbing this mountain, and it was in a Arctic snow, cold environment, and he was chiseling his way on up there, and he was almost toward the summit, and he saw a snake frozen there, and it was dying. Or he didn't know if it was completely dead or if it still had any life. Well, anyway, he got the snake and put it in his pocket, and he climbed on to the top of the summit, got it, started him a fire so he can get himself warm, and then he put the snake near the fire so it could get warm. The snake thawed out, and as soon as the snake thawed out, it struck him and bit him to kill him. He looked at the snake. He said, why did you bite me? He said, didn't you know that I saved you and kept you from dying? He said, yeah, but didn't you know I was a snake when you picked me up? See, listen to me. The only way, y'all gonna make me preach in here. See, the only way we can really see things is through the word of God. See, if folk out there, they didn't start having sex before they didn't started thinking, they're already in a cloud of confusion. They are already emotionally tired, spiritually tired. They can't even see straight and don't even know it. That's the worst thing. One thing not to be able to see and know that folk can't see. See, folks say, okay, well, hey, I ain't seeing quite straight. Let me go get some glasses. Okay, fine. But if folk don't even know they can't see straight and they think everything normal, that's a bad deal. Okay? This word right here allows us to see. This is a prescription that God gave for folk to have single vision and not double, triple, and quadruple vision. Huh? The word of God. When we see through the lens of God's word, now we can see life as it truly is. Amen. Not only for other folk, but first and foremost for ourselves. In the book of James, God calls it the mirror of life. Amen. See, because if a person doesn't get themselves right, they can't help get anybody else right. Huh? But it allows us to see folk. Amen. Okay? so that we don't end up putting snakes in our pocket and carrying them out and throwing them out only to get let them bite us and kill us.
Wow.
Yeah, God forbid. Yeah, God forbid.
Amen.
Yeah, it was his relative, and Lot was a reciprocating relative. He had a love for his uncle, and his uncle had a love for him,
Amen.
Even as a son. And he said here, he said that they had taken him captive, and so he led out his trained men born in his house. He had 318, praise God,
Amen.
318, and went in pursuit as far as Dan. Let me stop right there. I don't know about you, but anybody going around chasing a whole army with a few hundred folk is in my mind, either something's wrong with them or they know something that other folk don't know.
Amen.
And listen, he was not only chasing one army, he was chasing four armies and four kings. Normally folk would be running, trying to hide so that the army don't know where they're at. This man was running, chasing after the army. The army wasn't chasing him. And he only had 318 folk with him. Good God Almighty. And that leads us to this. When God is in the fight, it doesn't matter what the odds are. Oh, somebody better pray with me today. As Jonathan said in the scriptures, King Solomon's son, David's friend, his best friend, he said, God can give victory by many or by a few. Good God Almighty. By many or by a few. As it said in Romans 8:31, if God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, y'all better pray with me today. It doesn't matter how many legions of demons Satan may have. If God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter about the spiritual forces of darkness. If God be for us, who can be against us? It doesn't matter about what people say or what they do. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, because the scripture says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against us, we shall condemn, for this is the heritage of those who belong to the Lord.
Amen.
Who belong to the Lord. Yeah. Who belong to the Lord. Yeah. I love the way that the psalmist put it. If you would, turn with me to Psalm, the third chapter, for just a moment. Psalms, the third chapter. Praise you, God, today. And I'm going to just read this. I love this psalm here. It says, O Lord, how my adversaries have increased. Many are rising up against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no deliverance for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. My glory and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered me from his holy mountain, Selah. And I lay down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustains me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord. Save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies on the cheek. Thou hast shattered the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. The blessing be upon thy people, Selah. Good God Almighty. Yeah, when God is in the fight. Hey, it doesn't matter how many folk are mad at you. How many folk are mad with you? How many people come against you? How many folk put you down? How many folk try to mess you around? When God is for you, he's more than the whole world against you. Abraham knew that. Abraham knew that. in the 138th division of Psalm, verse 3, it was said this way by King David. He said, on the day that I called, you heard me.
Yeah.
You made me bold, good God Almighty, which strengthened my soul.
Yeah.
See, a relationship with God
yeah.
Gives a Holy Ghost boldness
yeah.
that cannot be explained.
Yeah.
This man was operating with a Holy Ghost boldness
yeah.
to lead out with a band, good God Almighty, from his house and chase down four armies because God is in the fight. Because God is in the fight. Oh, if I had time to tell you today. Oh, Lord. Because you are born again, blood bought, baptized believer. You need to know that God is in the fight with you. Good God Almighty. Yeah, you need to know God is in the fight with you. And when God is in the fight with you, child of God, you can't lose with what you use. Because you have a covenant relationship with the maker and creator of the heavens and the earth, with the Lord God Most High. In Genesis 1:1, he called himself this. He said, he revealed, he said, in the beginning, God. He is, that word God is the word Elohim, because he is the supreme ruler and he's the supreme judge. Yeah, when God is in the fight.